Dan.
Hey there.
It's been 2 months that I haven't even seen you.
I know. The episode that went up last week, I talked about how at time of recording, it had just been my birthday. And so everyone wished me happy birthday. That was 2 months ago.
I vanished into the aether for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's partially getting Stormlight 5 ready and partially lots of trips planned and things like that. And so we haven't even had writing group in quite forever.
I know. It's been actually nice. But so before we get into whatever else we're going to get into.
Yes. Oh, no.
Remember how my goal of dragging you to a concert.
Yes. You got me to listen to the Silver Sun Pickups, and I did, and then you didn't drag me to that concert.
That's because Becky said I couldn't.
Oh.
She canceled the whole thing because you were busy or something, writing books or whatever you do.
Yes.
You were probably just signing these all night, and we didn't get to go see Silver Sun Pickups. Okay, so it's getting towards summer again.
Okay.
So we have all of the new concerts announced. Okay. USANA, this, like in July, is getting a double bill, Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper.
Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper, huh?
Yeah.
I do like me some Rob Zombie. I've never been as big an Alice Cooper fan as everyone else. I mean, respect
same.
It. Same. Right?
I'm definitely more into Zombie than
Cooper.
Yeah,
but I really like how just blatantly over the top Rob Zombie is. And, you know, like more human than human. And, you know, like some of his songs are really really catchy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be My Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yep.
Two incredibly theatrical, like goth metal artists.
Yeah.
Utah does not feel like the venue for this, but they're coming.
Mm.
The trouble is it's at USANA, which doesn't have boxes. It's all just like...
Dan, what was my one rule?
Well, I needed to mention it.
Uh-huh.
Just anyway.
What is my one rule? If
it
I can't
has
be...
to be somewhere where you can sit and sip a julep.
Yes.
While listening to the musical stylings of Rob Zombie.
Yes. I would absolutely be willing to do that, but I need to be able to sit there and have my, you know, theatrical thrash death music. Because I don't know if it quite counts as metal. I'm sure there's a genre for Rob Zombie.
Yeah,
I don't think it's death metal, but it is definitely, you know, death metal adjacent. I need to be able to sit there and I need to be able to be like, yeah, I need a hint more honey in my chamomile, please. And someone provide the hint of honey for my chamomile as I listen to Rob Zombie talk about burning witches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or burning through the witches.
Burning through the witches.
In the back of his Dragula.
Yes, Dragula. That's what I was trying to remember, Dragula. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm running all these game retreats, and the one I have coming up this summer, I'm running a Vampire the Masquerade one-shot.
Oh, which edition?
Fifth.
Okay.
Which a lot of purists hate, but I think it's pretty good.
I haven't followed it since second, which kind of lost me. First was unplayable, but awesome. And second was playable, but mundane.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been putting together like a playlist so I can have mood music for my scary vampire game.
Yeah.
And so like 23-year-old Dan has come back up out of whatever hole he was in. And I'm going back through all the Sisters of Mercy and Marilyn Manson and Nick Cave and Bauhaus and all this stuff I used to listen to and haven't in forever.
Okay.
And it's been very fun.
Yeah. When you announced it, I thought you were going to announce something like, you know, like they had the Vanilla Ice and Hammer. Like,
MC
was
Hammer?
MC Hammer? Wasn't it Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer came to Orem together?
Did they? What?
Yeah. Look that up for
That's
us.
That's amazing.
Researching team. I know MC Hammer was one. I think it was Vanilla Ice. It might have been someone else, somewhat meme-tastic. They decided to get together for one show and they chose the UVU campus in Orem.
Of course.
To go to. Yep. Is it those two? I'm getting a nod. When was that?
Wow.
2009 is when I am seeing
2009.
2009.
Yep. So that would have like...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
2009, I lived like a block away from the UVU campus.
You didn't see it? It was
and
on
I
the billboard like
I probably
every day.
Saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So.
I never leave my house is the thing. So.
You know, if Rick Astley comes, my kids definitely want to go.
Just the pure meme concert.
Yeah.
One day I want to show up to a concert and then instead of whoever it is, Rick Astley comes out.
He does stuff like that now and then. Thing is, he does a lot of new music. It's pretty good. I mean, it's more gospel soul type stuff, but I've listened to his new stuff. He's a great singer.
Yeah.
So a Rick Astley concert would actually be genuinely enjoyable. But I wonder if he feels the need to do Never Gonna Give You Up as part of these concerts. Like, is that the encore? That's got to be.
Yeah. Like, everyone always, like, no matter how popular you get, you still have to play that original big hit that made you famous.
Yeah. So, well, I think you've got to first find the place that has the seats like I want, and then see who's going there, and then try to get me to it.
And that is my mistake, because the place that Silver Sun Pickups came to is called Depot, and I need to just look up who's playing there.
Does that have the seats?
Because that does. It has a little balcony. It has a private box.
Oh, see?
It would have been perfect, except you had like a million things going on.
So, there we are.
But instead, I searched for who's coming to Utah, and I got all excited about Rob Zombie.
You know, here's the funny thing. Emily likes Rob Zombie, at least the couple of songs I've cultivated for her, because sometimes we're driving in the car, she's like, I just need something to scream along to. And so I pull out my scream along, you know, my screaming guys playlist. And so, you know, System of a Down, some Metallica songs like Fuel and things like that. And the one she loved was Dragula.
Dragula.
Of all of the those kind of really fast paced, you know, things, Dragula is the one that she put on her playlist and listens to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
My favorite is Living Dead Girl.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's less of a scream along with it song.
Yeah.
So. But, okay.
So what are we going to talk about today? Oh, Food Heist. Food Heist.
Okay. I've got what sounds like a fantastic food heist. But
whenever
you
start that way, they're actually boring.
It's going to be so boring. The thing is, this happened 2 years ago, and yet it must have been recently on like a news site somewhere, because everyone in the world sent it to me last week. In Jamaica, four guys stole $2 million worth of corned beef.
Okay. That is a good start.
That's the whole story.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, I mean,
they were on pallets. There were three pallets of corned beef that were apparently $2 million in total, and they took them, and then they got caught, and that's it.
They got caught?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what makes it boring.
Yeah. There's like, nothing.
I mean, I'm sure that there is a nice Jamaican-Irish contingent, right, for whom throwing your St. Patrick's Day party, which I assume they do in Jamaica, even though they don't actually do in Ireland, right? Jamaica is expats, right? And that you need really good corned beef for, you know, your Jamaican...
For your Jamaican-Irish...
Irish
celebration.
Celebrations. And, you know... There's definitely something there, but
I looked into this because I was so surprised, because last year someone stole $1 million worth of corned beef in Trinidad and Tobago.
Okay.
And so I'm like, what's with all the corned beef in the Caribbean? Apparently, it's a super popular Caribbean food, because in the heat and humidity, it stays better because it's in cans. So it lasts longer. It's easier to store than anything
right.
else.
Right. Okay.
Which isn't as funny
as funny.
A giant... Yeah. St. Patrick's Day celebration.
I mean, it's kind of the same reason Spam is big in Hawaii then, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You keep your meat in a can.
Yep. Okay.
So,
way to be boring.
I know.
We got to occasionally throw in those curveballs, right?
It's The headline is so great, and then the story itself is as pedestrian and unexciting as it could possibly be.
Well, keep an eye out for more corned beef Caribbean heist. Maybe there's more to this story.
And I will put out a request. I am not going to suggest that anyone steal corned beef in the Caribbean.
Yes.
But I will say that if you are already planning to, please be kind of over the top about it.
Yeah.
So that we have something fun to report.
So we got a box in the mail.
We did get a box in the mail. It is right here.
We didn't know about this till right now.
Yeah. I haven't even looked in it. I know the genre of what's in it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I moved this so that it would not be blocking anything. Now it's in the shot without covering my face.
Okay. It's just covering, you know, my view of you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because I know the genre of what's in there. And I had brought some show and tell of my own. And they are thematically appropriate.
Thematically linked.
Why didn't you pull something out of there?
Okay. So what we have is... Tooth stuff.
Tooth stuff. More tooth stuff.
So I said before that somebody at the company Burst sent me a whole bunch of dental floss, and I keep it in a basket on my desk. And whenever people come and have meetings, I give them some floss. And so now I there's a bunch of electric toothbrushes.
We have wow, our podcast
and whitening strips
involves mostly writing and narrative. Has a bunch of tooth stuff. Hmm. I promise next week we'll talk about something
fancy looking one. 75 days. Is this all just toothbrushes?
It's another one. Oh, yeah.
In many different colors. Yep. There's the rose gold toothbrush. Oh, and here's black dental floss.
Now, I can't. Oh.
This is for when I listen to my Marilyn Manson Sisters of Mercy playlist. Uh-huh. I can use my black dental floss.
Not that I don't appreciate people sending you stuff after online, you're like, or on the podcast, you're like, please send me stuff. But once again, you know, couldn't it once be a fan high up in Ferrari rather than a fan high up in a, that, no, we all need toothbrushes.
Are you complaining about the, whatever, man. Here's something that is a precision whitening pen.
Oh,
which precision. I assume is for teeth, but okay. I don't have any whiteout in my office.
So
this is to draw onto your black dental floss. So then it's recognizably white dental floss.
Is that everything that's in there?
It looks like it. It's all just...
Oh, there's just more.
There's just more.
All right,
yeah.
You can start stacking that up. Will I bring out... Actually, here, have a look at this.
Tooth slime. Now with two times the slime. Is this like a dental care product or a dental destruction product?
So I went to Vegas, took my kids to Vegas for spring break. I wanted to go see Penn and Teller. I've never seen them live, and I love Penn and Teller, and I thought that's a hole in my experiences, and Penn and Teller is amazing live. Highly recommend to anyone who has the inclination. But my kids wanted to go to a place called Omega Mart. Have you heard of Omega Mart?
Is this the big, like, experience thing that you climb through and there's secret doors and crazy stuff? Yeah.
Yes. So the premise of Omega Mart, and I didn't even really understand it, though they've watched like a billion YouTube videos. So we're like way behind the times, but we are kind of a little bit hip, even doing it years later on our podcast, is that this company found a mysterious energy source that is like a portal to another dimension, and they can use it to infuse products in our world to make them extra cool. But the impression is that everybody who's been doing this has been twisted and warped themselves. So what they think is cool is just they're off. And so it's a whole supermarket full of products that when you look at them from a distance, look like just a normal supermarket. And then you get close and you read them, and they are things like tooth slime, right? Which is like, you know, just off.
Yeah.
And like there's things called apples. They're little apples with faces on them that they injected the thing in, and the apples came alive. And it is legitimately clever. All the writing is clever. It's just shelves full of products that you go look at, and they are funny. The writing is funny. They're all off in some way. They make fun of like corporate products and corporate speak, and they all are twisted in some interesting way. Mm-hmm. Like this is the one I bought because I thought this was hilarious, that we really do. Toothpaste doesn't sound weird to us, but tooth slime does. Mm-hmm. But why? Yeah. Right? It's just because we used paste. If it had been called tooth slime at the beginning, that would be the normal term for it. And all the products you can buy. This one's actually a pencil case, if you look at it.
A pencil case.
Yeah.
Because it does have a caution on the bottom that says, product has functional sharp edges. Contact may result in injury.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense for tooth slime or for a pencil case.
No, they just do stuff like that. The ones my kids like, there's like the spray bottles, but they're actually plushies and they have legs. Like in Windex, but it's got legs and things like that. So it's really fun.
Windex, now with legs.
It's enjoyable to just go read all the jokes. And then there's an ARG as part of it that my kids did where you go like scan your little badge and you go meet the resistance. There's little videos from the resistance who are like trying to get the portal closed. And if you do all the things, like the main store in the front has like these advertisements playing for all their stuff that's all off and twisted but funny. you can take that over and play a commercial for the resistance saying, you know, resist what they're doing or whatever. So my kids went and did that. That's
awesome. I dug deeper into this box and there's a cordless water pick thing.
Oh, cool.
Water flosser. I don't know if water pick is like an owned brand. I need one though.
Do you?
My dentist, every time I go, says, have you bought that yet? And I'm like, no. Oh, and this one says, Viva Floss Vegas.
Wow.
Which is the perfect overlap.
We did not do this on purpose.
Omega Mart and Burst Tooth stuff.
So I have a fun story from Vegas.
Okay, let's hear your fun Vegas.
This is not going to do anything for my reputation as, you know, a man of the people that we, of
your
course,
carefully cultivated blue-collar aesthetic.
Yes. You know, lifting back the curtain and revealing perhaps that my aesthetic of being, you know, a working man. So
this is like when we found out the dirty jobs guy was secretly an opera singer.
Yeah.
I felt so betrayed.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have the exact same response to me.
Okay.
Because I think I kind of give off this air of, of whatever, you know. But we show up at the Venetian, right? I like the Venetian when I go there. It's just, you know, it's classy for Vegas, as classy as things can be in Vegas when with all the glitz and casinos and stuff.
Yeah.
And we show up and I'm there with Becky. Becky is there checking us in. And I walk up to sign some stuff. And the nice gentleman behind the counter looks and sees that I have gotten, like, what is it, 8 rooms or something like that, just because I'm taking a lot of my extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have bought all these rooms for them. And a light went on in his head. The light, the little connector that says, high roller, treat well, will spend a ton of money gambling. Right?
Yep.
Did you know they've had some training to spot the person that if they make them happy, statistically, that person is going to spend a lot of money for them? And he says, we have the presidential suite open. Would you like the presidential suite? And I'm like, well, how much is it? And it was only about 3 times as much as a regular room, which is expensive, you know, to us.
Only 3 times as much.
Normal people, but let me tell you.
Can you imagine going to Burger King and they're like, would you like the combo? It's only 3 times as much.
The rooms, the nicest room, the presidential suite at the Four Seasons in Hawaii was 80 times more expensive than a regular room.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Okay.
That's ludicrous.
Yes.
Okay. So this is.
Yes. So this is, I'm like.
Approachable multiplier.
So in my head, I'm like, this is probably not that nice. I don't really need it. I'm a man of the people. I don't need the presidential suite, right? I can stay at the already somewhat expensive normal rooms at the Venetian.
The working class Venetian suites,
because they only have suites at the Venetian.
Okay.
They call them suites. They're not, you know, they're not two
rooms. If they're all suites, then, you know, they're none of them.
And so I'm like, no, but then my son, Dallin, who he's having a stressful trip. Leaving and going a new place is hard for him. He realizes he doesn't get to stay in the room with us, and it's too much for him. He's like, I don't want to be in a room with my brother, a suite, and by my, you know, like they couldn't give us a connecting room, basically, is the problem. So he's going to have to be a few doors down. And I'm like, yeah, those two by themselves in a room. Number one, you're not supposed to do that, right? They're not 18.
Yeah.
And number two, like, so I said, I went back to the guy and I'm like, all right, give it to me. He's like, great, we'll make it happen, Mr. Sanderson. This room, Dan, I have stayed in the Four Seasons, in the Ritz-Carlton. I've been at the Shangri-La in Abu Dhabi. This blew them all away.
Wow.
They really, really thought, like, they've got this open and here's a high roller. They've been watching for one. So it had a theater room.
Nice.
In my suite.
Yeah.
A separate theater room. Right? Like an 8-seat with reclining things theater room. It had a pool table and game room. Separate. Mm-hmm. Right? In there. It had a sauna. The suite had its own sauna. It had an exercise room. Don't have to go down to
to use the plebeian.
Which is where I normally would want to go. Right? And it only had 2 bedrooms. But they were these vast suites with their own, you know, like the bathroom on the master was bigger than the other rooms, the other suites by itself. Okay. Wow. It had a shower with like the multiple shower heads and things like.
Did you cry in the shower?
I did not cry in the shower.
No, that's too bad.
No, no. But I walk up there and that's when I realized, because I hadn't put it together till I walked in there, that they think I'm going to go spend $100,000 gambling. That's why they're giving me a suite that somewhere else would be costing just a ridiculous amount of money for a non-ridiculous, by my metrics, amount of money. And I then realized, oh, they chose wrong, because I've never gambled in my life. I'm just here to see Penn and Teller and to take my kids to buy tooth slime. And it was amazing. It was so cool. Separate dining room, right?
That's awesome.
Kitchen, obviously, right? You know, and the funny thing about the kitchen was it was a catering kitchen, because they assume you're going to take staff with you. They had like a catering microwave and things like that. They assume your house staff will be there with you.
I mean, you had Becky.
I had Becky.
Did you cook in his catering kitchen?
No, room service multiple times.
Yes.
Oh, well,
we did
you
order
go.
Very nice. Oh, and the way they treat you when you're there, even the room service and people, it's a different. They're very used to people who spend a lot of money gambling coming and keeping them happy. It was delightful. So if you can ever stealth being a high roller and get them to give you the presidential suite, which was larger than my and Emily's first house in square footage, then do it. It's worth the extra expense.
Worth
I would
the
say.
Expense. Yeah. So a friend of mine, something similar happened to him. My backyard neighbor, he owns a car lot. He actually moved a few months ago. But anyway, he did a lot of specialty cars, which means he would go to auctions and buy the crazy stuff and bring it back and sell it to specific clients that he had. And so he went down, and I can't remember if the auction itself was in Vegas, because there's a big car auction place just north of the city, or if it was in California. But regardless, he was in Vegas after this auction had taken place. And he had purchased at auction for a specific client a chrome-plated Bentley.
Okay.
It was at least $300,000 car that he was just immediately flipping around to this buyer.
Yeah.
But in the process, he's like, I want to see what happens. And he took it to the Bellagio, rolled up, and immediately they ran out and they're like, oh, yes, sir. Let us park your car for you. Please come in here. They comped him a room that had its own bowling alley in it. Again, on the assumption that he was going to drop a few hundred grand gambling. And he didn't. He just enjoyed the free room and left the next morning. And
so I've got an idea. Donald, we borrow your dad's Ferraris. I said S because
there might be more than one.
There might be multiple Ferraris. And we drive, and you know, he won't mind.
No.
No.
Not a problem.
No. He's always gone.
Well, the funny thing about Ferraris is you actually have to put miles on them to unlock full Ferrari mode.
Yeah, he
so
was telling
taking
me.
It to Vegas to get it to that full
you
Ferrari mode.
You have to level up your Ferrari?
You have to level up your Ferrari. I didn't know this.
That's amazing.
I was chatting with Donald Sr., Donald Jr., because Donald Sr. is Donald Jr.
Correct.
Donald the second. Yeah. About it. He's like, I have to put this many miles on it before I'm allowed to take it to the track and drive it at its speed, because you can't just take
you
one of these things.
You can't just show up out of nowhere. Yeah. How many miles do you have to put on a Ferrari in order to unlock skins for it?
To unlock the truest skin, I think it's 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
Before it can really be a Ferrari
but
at its max.
We are men of the people. Just remember this.
I came into work last week, and there was the stupidest, most expensive-looking car in your front yard.
This is what?
Like, it must have been Ferrari.
Yes, it was a Ferrari.
And it was Donald's. Yep. I figured out eventually. It's absolutely the kind of car that looks so expensive, you wonder why they drive it on public roads at all.
It is the fastest street-legal car. You can now look up which one he has in the world currently. Is that correct,
That is
Donald?
Correct.
Yeah. It basically looked like a silver Batmobile.
Yeah. Yes. Men of the people. We don't have the Ferrari. Just our friend has the Ferrari.
Well, that's the thing. I saw it. I'm like, did Brandon buy a car? No, Brandon never drives.
No. I have a minivan. In fact, we drove our minivan for like 12, 13 years. and we needed a new car. It was getting a little older, and plus some family needed a new car also, and you know, I can give them mine if I get a new one. And I just said to Becky, I'm like, just get one of these. And so a new Toyota Sienna showed up in my driveway.
And did you have a giant bow on it?
No.
Oh.
No. And so I just started driving that one instead. And it's very similar to the other one, except it now has a GPS built in. So, and it's a hybrid. That's true. And it's a hybrid. So see, man of the people.
Man of the people.
Man of the people. I am so blue collar that instead of buying a Ferrari, I have my people go buy me a new minivan.
Toyota Sienna.
Right? So that's very blue collar, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think
having
that
having your people buy you a minivan instead of a Ferrari,
yes,
sounds very working class to me.
I think so. I think so.
I drive a Prius. Is that a working class car?
No.
No?
No.
Dang it.
No. Prius is what people drive if they are like, that's like the upper middle class version of buying a Tesla, except don't buy into the Tesla hype.
Okay.
Right?
That's fair.
Right? Am I right on that?
So, Prius? So a 2024 Toyota Prius is like $28,000.
Oh, never mind. That's a working class car.
It's a working class car.
In my head.
Well, plus this is like a 2020 Prius.
In my head, a Prius was like the alternative, but maybe that's just, yeah. So yeah. I'm just wrong. Maybe I'm not as familiar with working class cars as I thought I was. Maybe I need to do a little more.
Need to get more.
Do not put that
class.
Horrified expression on your face.
No. I was going to say the car market is so weird, especially post COVID. Like it's all over the place.
Yeah. Minivans are really hard to get now.
Exactly. Like I do not blame anyone for housing or car being like, it's all over.
If you can get a new car for $28,000, that is definitely not a bougie car.
Not a bougie.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, and mine, like I said, it's like a 2020, and it came out at the height of the auto industry's fascination with touchscreens.
Yeah.
Which now virtually nobody uses them anymore because they're stupid.
They cause wrecks.
They cause crashes, but mine has one, and it's dumb.
I'm glad that they've moved away from that. We're actually out of time. Somehow we spent that whole time. I was going to ask.
Talking about random stuff. What are you going
to
ask?
Have you seen any shows in Vegas that you really like? Like if someone's going to go to Vegas, what do you recommend?
I have never been to a show in Vegas.
Okay.
I drive through Vegas. Mm. The longest I've ever spent in Vegas was technically for a trade show when I worked at Close to My Heart, which is a scrapbooking company.
Yeah.
And we did a big product launch there. And so I've seen that show in Vegas.
I mean, I get it. Like, there's a lot of things about Vegas that I don't enjoy. But there's a lot more that I do because I like people watching. I like something about the fake glamour of Vegas is really fascinating to me. And so I am fond of Vegas, which is odd coming from me, but I am. And we saw every show we saw was fantastic.
I hear they're all great. Yeah.
We went to Penn and Teller. Like, go see Penn and Teller, guys. They're wonderful. But the Beatles show, the Cirque du Soleil show, is fantastic.
Cool.
It is absolutely incredible. And we saw Blue Man Group. I took my kids to Blue Man Group because I love Blue Man Group. And Blue Man Group's one of those things that everybody should try. It's a lot of fun. It's different. It's, you know, now that Stomp is closed on Broadway, that like your only shot is of seeing something like that is Blue Man Group. So, yeah.
There's parts of Vegas that I like and there's parts that I don't. Honestly, the worst experience I've had of, look at this fake schlocky whatever, was the Venetian. The mall inside of there. With like their little fake canal and the little gondolas. And I'm like,
see,
this is the most horrible thing I've ever
seen.
That's
what makes that Vegas interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Because that is classy for Vegas.
It is classy and yet totally tasteless.
Yes. Yes.
Classy and tasteless.
That is Vegas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can go to the Winter, the Bellagio, and it's a little more subtle. But not much.
Not much.
Right? It's like, and I love that aesthetic. I find it hilarious. I find it really interesting. And, you know.
This kind of fake, small commodification of everything. You know, they're like, what's big? New York is big. We'll build a little fake New York here.
Yep.
And it's just, it's wild. I love it.
There you are.